How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world, the universe. And yes, I am back. I've been gone for 3 days. Feels like I've been gone for 3 years. All of the craziness that has gone down over the last couple of days. Believe it or not, yes, there is a TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view tonight. It is hard to believe. I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be doing the report on the front page. I'm going to be doing a post-show with Vinny on the Brian and Vinny show. And in fact, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and who knows how things will turn out. But the way that things are going, this may be the last ever TNA pay-per-view. And I'm going to go down with the ship if that ends up being the case. So we're going to talk about that show here today on the program. We're going to watch the show tonight. This is the first of 3 shows today. 2 hours here on Wrestling Observer Live, live and free. I'll be doing the Brian and Vinny show afterwards. And After Dark Radio later on this evening at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. We'll be talking Bigfoot. So many things to get into here today, but this is the priority right now. And we are going to be talking not only all of the news, there's so much stuff going on in TNA and WWE. We've got Tough Enough, Raw on Tuesday nights now that's being added in addition to Monday. It's not a new show, God forbid. It is the 2-hour version, which is taking place on Tuesday nights, which sounds far superior, by the way. We can also talk about everything that is going on with Slammiversary. We could talk about UFC last night. We could talk about Jose Aldo, drug testing. The list goes on and on. We're also going to be taking your phone calls all day long. 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. 4 other numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. 9 lines impossible to not get through today. So give us a call, and we'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I tell you something, everybody, is an old man, 40 years old now. You get a little older and you sit back and you think about how life has changed. And sometimes there's something where you go, man, I don't even remember a time before such and such. I'm sure you have this, Mike, when you think about your youngster, for example. Can you imagine, can you even remember a time before you had this crazy wild man running into your office at all hours of the day? Probably not. It's hard to remember a time before your child, I would presume. And man, 3 days off of this live show, Wrestling Observer Live, it's amazing. I can't even remember a time before we were going live every day. It's mind-boggling. And it was only February. I'm raring to go here. And what a day to be back. All of this TNA news and Slammiversary. Yoel Romero going nuts. It's crazy what we've got going on here today.
You broke out of an insane asylum to basically walk right into an insane asylum this weekend.
I was hoping that in some way I could maybe get a hold of Scott Hall and have him make a cameo appearance like years ago in Nitro when Ric Flair was locked up. And
when he was driving the bus?
Yeah, well, no, there was, I can't remember the scenario. Maybe he was driving the bus, but Scott Hall was there somehow, and it was like, yes, it was a sight gag.
Ric Flair was there with AAA, and they were all there, and then the scene was about to wrap up, and all of a sudden, Scott Hall came out and went, ooh, and Ric Flair made the most awesome Ric Flair face, and, you know, was it horrible? Was it terrible? Yes, because I've always been so greatly entertained by almost anything Ric Flair and Scott Hall do, I was okay with it.
You know, I got to say that with all this stuff going down in TNA and
they're not that funny.
Folks in TNA kind of, it's one of those days, you know what I mean? It's one of those days. The hardcore TNA fans and some of the TNA employees and Rome is burning. And if you remember last week, I lost my mind talking about Kimbo and Ken.
Oh, yeah.
I sure did. And there is a tirade about TNA that is brewing deep inside me. But, like the JFK assassination files, I'm going to lock it away, and in the year 2065, I will unleash it on my way out. But now is not the time for this tirade, but it sure has been building. So everybody can continue to follow this program for the next 50 years, and then we'll see how things go then.
Well, to be fair, and there's probably people that would be upset that you are not getting upset and ripping off this great promo that you have on TNA, we are on over-the-air affiliates and have to worry about FCC violations, and it's very difficult.
No, I made it through Kimbo Ken just fine.
Something tells me the 11 or 12 years, whatever it's been now, of TNA, it's going to be hard not to slip.
I'm not mad about TNA. I have no anger inside of me. It is pure, I don't even know what it is.
Exasperation?
There has been a decade plus, how can I even say this? There has just been a level of arrogance among certain people in that company. And really not even a lot of them. I have no problem with any of the wrestlers. And in fact, most of the people there. But there are certain people that have just set me off after years of stupidity and bad decisions and mismanagement. And the list goes on and on. And the constant attempts to claim that everything is fine and that everybody else is wrong. It is a level of arrogance that I'm going to move on to something else right now before I really get upset. We'll talk about Slammiversary later, but there's a lot of news.
See?
There's a lot of news that we can talk about today. And phone calls. Let's go to the East of the Rockies line. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hello, yes. You're talking to me, correct?
Yes, that would be you.
Okay, cool. I want to talk a little bit about UFC. I don't want to get off the TNA news, even though I really
No,
do.
Please. Okay. Please, let's talk about UFC.
Yeah, it's more the Conor McGregor thing is on my mind. I'm a Frank Edgar fan. I'm from New Jersey. And how do you feel about Chad Mendes being picked over Frank Edgar after two losses to the current champion? Do you think Frank Edgar's wrestling, maybe not as exciting fight style, is the reason he got passed up?
I don't know why he got passed up. Honest to God, I know you're a Frankie Edgar fan. And you know what? I actually think that Frankie Edgar versus Conor McGregor actually probably would be slightly more fan-friendly, but I don't think it matters either way. If it's not Aldo versus McGregor, the interest level of this pay-per-view is going to absolutely plummet. And whoever it is that you choose to replace Aldo, if that ends up being the case, I think that Edgar would be a slightly more interesting pick, but I don't think it matters.
I think it'd be a much more interesting pick. Although, then again, I'm in the tank for Frankie Edgar a little bit more than I am for Chad Mendes. But I think, in a way, it's correct in that Mendes gets the shot, and no matter what then you do after that, you know, you could do Aldo. Again, Edgar, I don't think it doesn't need to be a title fight. I think Aldo and Edgar and McGregor both would have appeal a little bit later on when, you know, especially in the case of Aldo, when he's healthy. And with McGregor, I think between both of them and their attitudes and, you know, again, Edgar's not a huge money draw or anything like that, but he does have a hardcore fan base and he is good. I mean, as far as, you know, selling some fights, it's not high profile, but he's better than a lot of guys. So I don't think they even necessarily need the next fight. And if I'm not mistaken, I guess this is a ratings thing.
In what way?
Or a rankings thing.
Probably a rankings thing, but this ranking thing is so funny because they'll flat out say the rankings don't really matter, and then they're used to make decisions. I don't even know why there are rankings. It's baffling to me.
Because they need to have rankings. It's like, again, it's that boxing thing, and it's a sports thing, which I know you can't.
You're right.
People
but
love wrapping their, you know, killing themselves in August when it doesn't matter over the college football top 25. So people like to have things that they can argue about and that, you know, that are right in front of their face and they could, you know, touch and move around and have a talking point.
But hold on, it doesn't matter because if you had a ranking system and the guy who was number one, or okay, the number one, let's say number one's champ, and number two is the number one contender or whatever. If you always go by that, great. But if you have a ranking system and randomly the next championship match goes to someone who's ranked five, then again, why bother?
Because in that boxing tradition, and even in other sports where they do rankings, it's so you can latch on to something. So sometimes you can't always defend against a number one contender. Say he had a fight, so you know, you make sure you drum up interest in the next one. And I know it can be, you know, inflated and phony, and I understand that, because I know, you know, that's the easy argument is who cares? And you'd be right, you know, really at the end of the day. You know, if a guy is ranked number three and is getting a title shot, and there's a guy ranked number six who's awesome and everybody wants to see, you don't necessarily want to be three, but you still need a way to sell the fight. It still looks good. It's something that sports programmers and that executives and other people can wrap their brain around. Number one's playing number two, or number one's playing number three in the top five. So I know a lot of it's BS, but I think that's a lot of the reason why.
Let's go to the first time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is Brent. Originally from Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you guys?
How you doing, Brent?
Good. I just had two things I wanted to touch on. Topics are open today, correct?
Like, that's right.
All right. One is about the Tyson Kidd injury. I feel like Samoa Joe has really kind of gotten a pass from everyone on this. I feel like, God forbid, Ryback were to drop Tyson Kidd and it was caused from the shell shock as opposed to the muscle buster. I feel like everyone would be up in arms, ready to kill Ryback, and I feel like Samoa Joe, for whatever reason, has just kind of gotten a pass on this whole thing. I want to know your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, here's one thing. How many guys has Sheamus injured in the last couple of years?
Not too many.
A lot, actually. He's injured many people. But my point is that he's injured many people, and Samoa Joe has injured one. I got one email from somebody who believes he's injured a second person, but I don't even have that confirmed. And I think that's why he's getting a pass. We'll talk about this more after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Caller before the break, a first-time caller, I might add. All these numbers up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Mentioned Samoa Joe and why he is getting a pass, as they claimed. And as I mentioned, a couple of things with Joe. First off, as noted, I can think of one confirmed injury that Joe has caused with the muscle buster. I was emailed from someone who claimed there had been a second one, but I can't confirm that. So we're really confirmed at one injury. And Joe's been doing this move forever. He's been doing this move for well over a decade, I'm pretty sure. Someone may correct me, but it's been a long, 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 long time. And the difference between this and other moves, the Styles Clash, for example. I mean, regardless of whose fault it is when the Styles Clash goes wrong, I mean, the Styles Clash goes wrong. Someone ducks their head. It very clearly ends up being a botch. There was nothing botched about Samoa Joe's muscle buster. I've seen it. I saw the video of what happened. And the belief in WWE is that it was a freak accident. He went to do a move he's done a million times. He did it exactly like he's done it a million times. And for whatever reason, Tyson Kidd ended up with an injury and required surgery. I haven't heard anything about anybody being upset at Joe about this, with the exception of Bret the Hitman Hart. So that is why he's getting... I mean, if he goes out there on NXT and he does this move on somebody and they end up having to get neck surgery, now we're talking. That's two in a very short period of time. But my guess is, and the fact that he's continuing to do the move suggests to me that they feel it is a freak accident, and that's likely what it was.
Yeah, it's look at the Styles Clash. How many years has AJ Styles been doing that move, and then three times basically in the span of a year, three guys tuck their heads. It's sometimes these things are going to happen. You know, I think we sometimes people poke fun at that whole WWE, you know, bumper that they'll have where, you know, these guys, dramatic music of these guys putting their lives on the line and please don't try this at home. But hey, sometimes it's going to happen. And all the years of wrestling, for every guy that's been through a career or 20 years without a major injury, you know, again, the odds are somehow, somewhere, these things are going to happen. And it just seems to be it happened to Tyson Kidd and Samoa Joe. If there had been, it, you know, obviously Bret Hart said what he said, but if we had heard a lot from other guys, if we had heard a lot from any of the circle around Tyson and Natty that they're upset with Joe, okay, you know, then maybe there's something more at play here, but nobody's doing that. It just, everybody is taking it as a freak accident, and unfortunately, sometimes these things happen.
On the toll-free line, let's go to Stan the Man. Or maybe it's Tan the Man. He's in St. Louis. The Man, are you on the air?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Brian and Mike. Indeed a pleasure to talk to you. First time caller, and it's Tan the Man, by the way.
Tan the Man. I thought that's what it was, but go ahead, Tan.
All right. Not a problem. Hey, I hope you will indulge me to get three important things out. The first being, of course, TNA. And I hope you guys will understand my pain when I say this. TNA is the only so-called wrestling promotion that just makes me angry. Not only did I see it on television every week, just a mere reference to those letters and the people who make up the company. And I will try to explain why really shortly. I just think it's not a coincidence that this is a ship where all the rats are all trying to jump out, trying to save their own lives, because it's just a piece of crap company. And it's ran really crappy, obviously. And then what's left of the so-called talent roster still looks pretty crappy. All the top-of-the-line people we've seen in the past year and a half, from AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, on down to a Gunner, who I just really never thought much of. They definitely saw the writing on the crap-stained wall. WCW in its final 3 months was far more entertaining than TNA will be in their final 3 months. And I do believe September will be the final nail in the coffin.
I'm not exactly sure they're going to make it to September, but I would agree that it is a tainted brand. The TNA name, I mean, even if this place survives, TNA has got to go. A rebranding, something. Even this Impact Wrestling, it's still TNA Impact. It's a tainted brand. It's never going to grow with this name.
Dookie.
Well, I mean, how many times do you have to keep hitting the restart button? They've done it several times over the course of 12 to 13 years.
Well, I agree. We got time for one more, so what else is on your mind?
Okay. I didn't get a chance to call in last week, but there were two matches, we'll say, that I wish I could have bet anybody in the world and I would be rich today. I was the first guy to call Undertaker losing his streak last year, WrestleMania 30, and then there was a lot of naysayers that didn't want to believe Kimbo Slice was going to beat Ken Shamrock. I don't know why people thought that, but I'm here to say, if there was a lot of people that would have bet against me, I would be calling you a rich man today.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't remember. What were the odds? Kimbo was the favorite, correct?
Yes, it was a large favorite at the beginning. It shrunk down a lot more. Odds went Ken Shamrock's way. I hope TNA does call their next pay-per-view like TNA Dookie or TNA Feces or something like that if they do happen to survive, just to drive Tan further crazy.
Tan is in a rare form today. To the east of the Rockies line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
Yes, Sammy.
Just a couple things. You were talking before about the rankings in UFC. If I remember correctly, they have rankings because when they signed up with Fox, Fox told them you have to add it. Not necessarily that UFC wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And the other thing is I was thinking about something with Roman Reigns as a... There's something that... Hogan and Michaels, Cena, Austin, Rock, all have in common that is not happening with Reigns right now. They all started their rise to the being big baby faces as heels. I think the only big heel in WWE over the last, you know, or the big baby face the last 30 years to not start as a singles heel would be Bret Hart. and every other guy has gotten over with a chance to shine as a bad guy. And Roman hasn't had a chance to do that on a singles yet. I think, you know, a lot of people have called for it. I think he could be a really good singles heel if they just give him that chance before pushing him to babyface, which pretty much every other major star they've had since Vince McMahon took over has had the same kind of thing.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, they can do that. I'm surprised they didn't turn him heel. When you mention everyone, I mean, that wasn't their idea for The Rock. That's what they were forced to do when The Rock was so hated. And they could have made that same decision with Roman, but for whatever reason, he just decided to go all the way with the guy. So I don't know why. I don't know what changed. I'd have turned him heel. I had what I thought was a great scenario at the last Elimination Chamber show. Screw his best buddy. I thought it would be simple, but that's not the way they want it to go. And
I think they'll still do it quickly. I think they will still end up doing this down the line. I think they can build to it nicely with him always getting screwed or him always having something happen to him where he feels as though the authority is the answer. Now, in that, I don't think Seth Rollins should go anywhere because I think Seth Rollins is a heel. He's a great chicken-ass heel. He will continue to be. And those two being in the same camp, you know, I don't think Seth will be the one that ever gets hated or ever gets loved in that scenario with Roman Reigns. And down the line, after heel Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar, you can roll with Rollins and Reigns on the same team for a while before breaking Reigns off again and seeing how things go, and he can be the big baby face.
On the toll-free line, Ryan, I presume you're calling from Cumberland, is that correct? Ryan?
Yes, my question is about Tyson Kidd. I think what Bret Hart was getting at was that he didn't have proper time to stretch for the match. So I wanted to know how long you took to stretch before you wrestled, and do you know anyone that's ever been seriously injured in your indie wrestling leagues because they didn't stretch properly?
It pulled hammies in your indie wrestling leagues.
Yes, I never stretched. I just went out there.
You've also been a gymnast for how long?
I was a gymnast for a long time. You know what it was? I want to thank you very much for an enlightening call today, Ryan. What it was, I can't remember who said it, but somebody made the comment that, you know who it was? It was, oh my God, who was it? Rousey's Judo Jean LaBelle, I believe. Judo Jean LaBelle, I hope I'm not screwing this up and attributing it to the wrong guy, but essentially he said something to the effect of, have you ever seen a cheetah warm up before it began to chase its prey? No.
No.
Ever seen any other predator in the wild, any other animal, that when food came along and it needed to give chase, it paused and began stretching prior to going out there and exercising, so to speak? He said, no, there's no animal that has to stretch before it engages in physical activity. So he never stretched. I never stretched. I just got a message here from Lance. Lance Storm says, I almost never stretched, and I never got hurt. And you can quote me, he says. Mm-hmm. So I know that people are listening to this right now, and they're probably outraged, and they say that I'm giving terrible advice, and I'm an idiot. But hey, I never stretched. I never got hurt. And many others have never stretched or gotten hurt as well. But everybody's different. Back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. All sorts of people on the phone lines today. 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. Also, four other numbers. East and west of the Rockies, parts unknown, and first-time caller line. All of those available at WrestlingObserver.com. I've got Sam here saying Vince McMahon claims he tore both quads at the Royal Rumble because he forgot to warm up and stretch first.
That's nice, funny.
Funny little claim. Antonio the Promise Thomas says, wrestling, grappling, striking, weights, I never stretch. When I did 15 to 30 minutes of warming up, I was more prone to injury. There you go. We're all animals, everybody. We're all animals. My cats stretch solely after waking up, not before fighting. To the east of the Rockies line, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
How's it going, guys?
It's going very well. What's up?
Okay. I was reading The Observer today, like everybody else. I've seen where they said that Taryn Terrell and Austin Kong are gone after Slammiversary. Am I correct on that?
I don't know. There were reports they're gone. Bob Ryder is claiming they're not gone. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, what about the deal? Has WWE made any decisions on the Jessica Havoc situation with the tweets and everything?
I have heard nothing, and that's probably not good for Jessica Havoc.
Okay. One other thing. Any further health updates on Blackjack Mulkin?
I only know, actually, Mike, you might know better. I heard that he was maybe doing a little better, but I'm not sure. Mike, did you get an update?
You know what? I will try to find out something, if not for tonight. If I can't do it, I'll have something for tomorrow's show on it. I'll ask around. I know, you know, everything seemed to be, he was stable, you know, after everything that had happened. So I don't know exactly where he's at now, but I will definitely find out.
Alrighty, on the toll-free line, of which we have many people, let's go to Richard. Richard, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Very good. What's up?
That's good. Quick question. With the whole demise of the whole TNA situation, I know when they was talking about Austin Aries might be done after this weekend, where do you see him winding up? I know he pretty much burned some bridges with Ring of Honor. And my second part question to that is, once TNA is headed to where it's headed and you see this fluctuation of talent, who do you think is going to benefit more? Is it going to be NXT, ROH, or maybe even Jeff Jarrett's promotion? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. All I know is this. Bunch of guys are apparently gone, and that just means they're not re-signing new deals. I know that some of them, I think Magnus is going to go to Global Force. I'm sure that some of them are going to try and get work in NXT. I would bet you anything there are being calls made to NXT as we speak, and New Japan as well. And the door is still open for TNA. I mean, just because somebody like James Storm, for example, left TNA, and I'm sure he's going to be seeing what kind of work he can get elsewhere, but if they got a set of tapings coming up, if they have another set of tapings, they may call him and say, we'll give you such and such an amount, come in and do these tapings, and he may come in and do them. This is the way that TNA is structured right now. There aren't going to be a lot of guys under lucrative deals. There's going to be a lot of per appearance deals for however long this thing hangs on. And just because these guys have not re-signed doesn't mean you're not going to see them again. But I don't know. WWE is very much not wanted to hire anybody that was on national television for TNA, but they did bring in Joe. And James Storm is a very talented guy. And of course, you've got Austin Aries, who works the kind of style that Triple H is into in NXT right now. So anything is possible. I'm not ruling anything out, but many people have officially not accepted new deals.
But Aries also has, in the past, you know, his disappointment over Tough Enough. And there's the thing, you can bring him in for, you know, what you're doing with like a Rhino or something like that. Bring him in for, you know, a set of TV tapings and not use him again. But Aries is a guy I can see. He can go to PWG. He can probably make his way around the indie scene, both here and internationally at his leisure. Maybe not too heavy in Japan or anything like that, but I think probably in the UK and Ireland, and then over here, he could probably make a couple spins around before he might need to do something else. Magnus and Mickey seem to be there. That's a Global Force would be perfect for them. And James Storm, I think, you know, Global Force or back to TNA or both of those places back and forth seems to make the most sense to me. But I could actually see, believe this or not, if you wanted to, and if, you know, somebody was semi-creative enough, James Storm showing up in a PWG to wrestle a one-off match with somebody and showing up in places where you wouldn't necessarily believe that he fits, but because of his personality, he could probably play on that. Could be a way to go for him if he doesn't want to try to latch on to anybody for a while. Like Lucha Underground, maybe not, unless he's going to do an ugly American sort of thing. But I think he could pop up in random places like AAW or PWG, get bookings, and play up to being one of those guys who's not a indie legend. He's a TNA guy since, what, 2001?
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Danny Hernandez.
Yes,
and,
Danny.
My question is to Brian. And it's about your favorite Lucha Underground wrestler, Pentagon Jr.
Yes.
And the downward spiral he has gone since he lost to Sexy Star. Because, look, like I said in that one episode when he lost, he says that you wouldn't have had Pentagon lose because this last week, Sexy Star lost to Superfly. And so if Superfly beat Sexy Star and he lost to, you know, Sexy Star, Pentagon Jr., but he probably should have stayed undefeated. He probably should have got DQ'd that match because he just went into like a feud with Vampiro, you know?
What was that, Mike?
That's the whole reason. He lost to Sexy Star. He was embarrassed. He wanted to beat on her. He was pissed off. And then Vampiro, I mean, it was just to jumpstart what you were doing there. I mean, no miedo. Was anybody really going to remember outside of when they show it? You know, that he lost to Sexy Star.
Yes.
Even when they do show it, all of these, I guarantee you, Brian, after the match with Vampiro, the only way people will remember it is as a way to jumpstart getting to him and Vampiro. I guarantee that.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
We'll guaranteed. You can't guarantee nothing.
Guarantee.
Anything else?
No, one last thing is, can I ask about Conor McGregor?
I think
it's like a conspiracy theory that UFC just loves this guy. He's like pushing him down our throats and stuff. Like, for example, when he took the title from Aldo, Dana White was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. So I think it's a conspiracy theory that even though Aldo's hurt, UFC wants McGregor to be the champion. So
believe it or not, he and Paige VanZant both got bonuses for last night's fight night.
That's crazy. Mike, you know what that Pentagon loss junior to Sexy Star was?
What?
It was when Roman Reigns got punched out by the Big Show in January on Raw.
Stop it.
And everybody goes, oh, we're just getting some sympathy on the guy. It's just a part of the story as he heads to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Dude,
Brian,
come on.
You're talking about two different... You're talking about a show. Now, we're a week leading in the Royal Rumble anyway. Completely different story. You're talking about a show where Ivelisse and Helico and Havoc were standing backstage, and ghosts came up behind them, and like a thunderbolt and lightning appeared, and then all of a sudden there were these men there, and then all of a sudden they were laid out. That's the show we're talking about.
That is the show we're talking about, but you don't want to know something else about that show? I'll tell you something else about that show. For the most part, wins and losses matter. And when my main man, Pentagon Jr., did a job for Sexy Star, that was the end for me. That was the end!
Oh,
I am not going down to Bola because of that decision. Now, let me say something.
You have miedo.
Let me say something about this Sexy Star. Here's the thing with man versus woman matches. Okay, first off, I hate the spots where the huge dude is punching the crap out of the woman. It doesn't work. Okay, maybe there's a small portion of the audience, 5% that think it's so cool that they can watch a television show where some dude beats up on a smaller woman. But you know what? 95% of the wrestling audience thinks it sucks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, if Sexy Star were like a Ronda Rousey, there are people, it's never going to happen, but there's plenty of MMA fans who would love to see Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate's boyfriend. What's that geek's name?
Not Carrizo. I forget his name.
Anyway, this numbskull. There are people that would love to see Ronda Rousey fight this guy. Now, the reason that they're interested in that fight...
Brian Caraway,
thank you. These two individuals are A, roughly the same size, and B, there are MMA fans that believe that Ronda Rousey would beat the hell out of him. And the thing with Ronda is she's an exceptional fighter. She's undefeated. She's had one fight that has gone longer than the first round. She's smashed and destroyed everybody. She is so world-class that people argue that she could beat men of the same weight. That's why Ronda Rousey worked, and that's why you can talk seriously, maybe not that seriously, about the idea of Ronda Rousey facing Brian Caraway, which, by the way, is never going to happen. Is Sexy Star the same size as these men that are beating her up? No. Is she a better worker than the men she's facing? No. Is she a better flyer? No. Is she a better brawler? No. Is there anything about Sexy Star? And I don't have any problem with her. I'm just saying there's nothing about her that is blowaway. So therefore, to try to put her in a match with a larger man, it never works. That's my argument.
Can I say something?
You can say whatever you want.
I agree with you on all of that because I'm not a fan of any of this stuff. I think it's wacky, and I think you can still do the comic book thing and have this type of show with women wrestling women, and every once in a while getting into it with a man, just like you would do in any, you know, pulp story or comic or whatever it is. If they are going to do this, maybe they want to mention that she's married to Johnny Gonzalez, who's a former featherweight champion. I mean, you know, have her incorporate some strikes, you know, but I guess that would take its way out of the story. But maybe, like, actually portray her, if you're going to do this, as something other than just this girl who's wrestling dudes getting laid out. At least Angelica Fong or whatever her name is in, you know, in Black Widow or whatever it is. She's at least, you know, she's a trained ninja killer. You know, what does Sexy Star have besides being sexy and being, you know, this, you know, cute girl who gets beat up a lot and then, you know, will either get the surprise banana peel win or whatever it is. I think all of that is ridiculous. Again, with all of that said, I think when it comes to Pentagon Jr., Havoc? Maybe. Pentagon Jr., no. I don't think this will matter in the long run at all, especially after that match with Vampiro.
Parts Unknown line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Logan from the Boiler Room, also known as Feels Like 103 Gainesville, Florida. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, Logan.
Hey, I want to talk about the good things in Lucha Underground.
Like everything else
Vampiro
except
was.
Sexy Star.
Yeah, everything. It's the most amazing show. So Vampiro, after he confronts Pentagon, this is something you didn't mention on your show. I just wanted to bring it up for everybody else that might not have caught it. But he was so, like, he lost his composure a lot, and he was trying to get back into the match, but he was still just very, very shooken and going to that dark place. I just thought it was so great. But what I kind of really actually want to talk about is how...
Hold on. We got to head to a break, so stand by. We'll hold you until we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Parts Unknown line. We've only got a few moments here, but go ahead with your second question.
Oh, okay, so Slammiversary feels so much like WCW Greed, so I heard that there was a King of the Mountain championship title. Do we know anything else about why they decided to buy a belt? Is there going to be more matches with this belt? What's going on with a belt? It's a totally stupid idea.
I have no idea what's going on with the belt. And worse, they've already taped like 5 weeks of television, and I don't think there's any appearance in the ring whatsoever. In fact, I know there's not for the King of the Mountain champion. So I don't know what's going on.
Old school splintering off of the title, and this now becomes the GFW title.
That's
that
got to be what it is.
May or might not be defended in at the Orleans.
That's got to be what's happening. They're crowning the first ever Global Force Wrestling champion. That's the only thing that I can figure out of this thing right here.
Yeah, they may not say that tonight. In fact, I doubt they will, but I think that's what it turns into. That would make sense, at least.
In fact, I may be able to figure out something right now before we go to this break. So they're doing a King of the Mountain match. There is the King of the Mountain championship on the line, which is noted. I believe it's probably going to end up being the Global Force. And we've got Jarrett, Matt Hardy, Eric Young, Drew Galloway, and Bobby Roode. Any of those guys leaving? Is Drew Galloway leaving or staying? I can't even remember. I've lost track at this point.
Well, he's got options, so it doesn't matter.
And maybe Jarrett's going to win it and then lose it to somebody else on a Global Force show. Who knows? We'll talk more about this after the break. We got tons of people on the line. Stand by, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Talking about all sorts of things today. We've taken a million phone calls, got a million people on the line. Going to continue those in the second hour here. The phone number is 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. We have four other numbers. If you are west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. If you're east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. If you are anywhere in the entire universe, you can call the Parts Unknown line, 425-398-7353. And if you're a first-time caller, 425-398-7289. All of these numbers up and available at WrestlingObserver.com. So give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. Slammiversary is kicking off in about an hour now. We've got all sorts of matches, including Davey Richards versus Austin Aries, with the winner picking the stipulation for match 5 of the Wolves versus Dirty Heel series. And we already know that that match is an Iron Man match. So we don't know who's going to win, but we know what they're going to pick. There's a lot of that here on this show, in fact. Bram versus Matt Morgan, Lashley and Mr. Anderson versus EC3 and Tyrus, Dollhouse versus Awesome Kong and Brooke. By the way, EC3 is on this show. Spoiler alert, everybody. Of course, EC3 is the new champion. Is he going to come out with or without the title? Who knows? Dollhouse against Awesome Kong and Brooke, Jesse Goddard's Robbie E., King of the Mountain match, James Storm and Magnus, Tigre Uno, Manic, and DJ Z. We'll talk about it all after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, taking your phone calls. 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. All of the other numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Let's go to, I guess, John in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, John. John, are you on the air?
No,
yes,
you were feeding yourself
here.
Again.
There we go.
Oh, there he is.
I've been on hold for 20 minutes.
What's up, John?
All right. Am I the only one who thinks that you've got one heck of a great potential book upcoming, The Death of TNA? Because this just seems like the most inept, ridiculous run promotion ever in the history of wrestling. I mean, just the decisions that have been made from the name from the outset, allowing Vince Russo to inspect the brand from the outset. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I hope that all the talent that are working there find good gainful employment after this thing eventually goes belly up, because it's going to happen.
Well, I have long had a, I want to thank you very much for the call. I've long had a love-hate relationship with the idea of writing a book about TNA, because while it would be the most amazing wrestling book, especially the last 2 months, forget the rest of it, just the last 2 months, while it would be the most amazing wrestling book, one key to the long failure of TNA is they have a very, very rabid, cheap fan base. A fan base that will not spend money to any degree on the product. And by the way, I know there's some of you TNA hardcores out there listening right now that are very, very mad at me. And I would bet that some of you have never spent a dime on TNA. You watch Impact for free every week and you never buy the pay-per-views. You never go to house shows. You never buy merchandise. That's your support. I can guarantee that this TNA Slammiversary has at least one buy, because I just went downstairs and spent $34.95 on it. Just wanted to throw that out there. But I don't know. If this company ends up going out of business, I probably will write a book about it. But I just don't know if anyone's going to buy it.
At least you got Jeremy Borash joining Josh Matthews for commentary tonight. So that's a little bit of a plus.
Thank God.
Like
what
JB,
took them so long?
Hey, I just, you know, again, if it goes away at this point, I don't even know what to say, because I was a big proponent of hoping that the TNA in 2002, you know, could do something. And I really held out hope for a long time. Now it's just my hope that these guys who are leaving the production, anything that does happen, I hope all the good guys truly are able to get work. And I hope the people that have just done nothing but damage to wrestling and killed one of the only options out there for a long time, and really the only major option in America, not counting Ring of Honor here in the last couple of years, that had a chance to at least do something different than WWE. The fact that they've blown it so much, you know. I got to be honest, I think you might want to wait 10 years before you write that book when people start looking back and go, why did nobody write a book on this? Because I think the burnout immediately after this for a while, I mean, why do you, I think we all know about it right now. Why does it matter?
Parts unknown. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello, parts unknown. You're on the air. I hear you on the line. Did you fall asleep? Going once. Going twice. He's out of here. Let's go to Kenny. You are on the air. Kenny, what's up?
Oh, hey guys, how you doing?
How's it going?
It's quite an interesting day going on in the world of TNA wrestling, huh, isn't it?
It sure is. 45 minutes to the big show.
I see. You know, there's been a lot of, I don't know if anybody's touched on the fact that Jeff Jarrett's coming back tonight.
Oh, we've touched on it. He's back tonight in King of the Mountain match.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody's touched the fact that with all this talk about, you know, TNA being over, do you think it's a possibility that with Jarrett being back in the game, do you think he'll possibly maybe, I don't know, buy into the company or do some talent exchange with GFW or merge it with GFW in the future?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's what's going on. Jeff Jarrett is coming in tonight. He is in the King of the Mountain match. He is going to be attempting to win the King of the Mountain title. And as a result of, they essentially made a deal where Jarrett's... What's going on there? Go ahead and drop that call, Scott. Jarrett's coming in, and as a result, they're going to be doing a talent exchange with Global Force Wrestling. And so Global Force is going to get to bring in some TNA wrestlers that they hadn't been able to use before. Tyrus, poor Tyrus, for example. Tyrus was going to work some Global Force events, and TNA pulled him. And meanwhile, TNA isn't running all that many shows, so he was just left out in the cold. So now Jarrett's back. Jarrett's going to the TNA Hall of Fame. Jarrett's working Slammiversary. They're probably going to do some sort of invasion angle or something like that. And Jarrett is going to get to be able to use some TNA talents on his Global Force Wrestling shows. There's no purchase. There's no merger. I don't know where things will go in the future, but that is the that's the story right now. It's a mess. It's a mess is what it is.
A bigger mess than the great biggest Van Vader?
Is that his name?
No, but it should be.
Oh, I see.
He is the biggest.
Holy smokes. What do you think of this card for this show? I thought that EC3 wasn't on the show, but apparently he is.
Yeah, well, teaming, but maybe they pulled him off and were going to plan something else if they thought... Was Tyrus one of the ones who was going to be in Mexico? No, that was what Bobby Lashley they thought was going to be in Mexico. I don't know. I have no idea. Between all of the tapings that have taken place and the fact that things have been, you know, they tape out of order anyway. So it's like you're looking at the results and you have the results of matches like that. The match number 5, we already know who's going to win that. We already know what the stipulation is from it before it even takes place. Everything is just so confusing and jumbled. You know, again, you already had there's been several title changes that have already taken place, you know, without any spoilers there that have taken place on the tapings. I don't know. It's just, it's things have been so all over the place that, you know, I'm going to check it out tonight because I think there's some historical appeal to it. And maybe you could hope if you're TNA that maybe with all the turmoil that's been taking place, maybe people will kick out some money and buy it like they're going to be buying the last time ever or something like that. But judging by the ratings from Wednesday when they were live and they had the announcement of Jeff Jarrett, and you knew something was going down on that show being live. You had rumors of a Lucha Underground guy coming over. That ends up sort of happening with Hernandez showing up, although I don't think people really made the connection too much. Rick Rude, he was not on that particular evening.
Actually, he was. He was on both shows at the same time.
Yeah, but nobody cared. We talked about Rick Rude for a couple of weeks after that. We still know about Rick Rude now. Nobody's going to remember Hernandez doing that. But at the end of the day, it didn't work for ratings. And I doubt, you know what? Like you said, I don't know if people bootleg stream it. I don't know if they just don't have any interest in it. But you know, even when TNA was doing 1.5 million people on Spike TV tuning in to watch, they still would only get 8,000 pay-per-view buys. So, you know, the way things have gone now, even if they get a good percentage of the people who are watching them to buy, it's still not going to be that much.
I've got some very exciting news. After the break, we are going to be joined on this program by Filthy Tom Lawler.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, he's all ready to go. He's going to buy the TNA Slammiversary show. So we can confirm two buys for that. And I can also confirm based on, I've got a Facebook message, a tweet, and a text so far. I've got at least three people willing to buy Death of TNA. So that's one more than have agreed to buy Slammiversary so far. So I'm going to have to really think about this in depth before I decide to make a decision. But yes, we're going to be joined by Filthy Tom after the break. We can talk some UFC with him as well. And the phone lines are going to remain open. So if you want to talk to Filthy Tom Lawler, I will open up the phone line so you guys can talk to him as well. That's going to be coming up after the break. Got a couple of interesting things on Twitter here. Ryan in Cumberland will buy the book, he says. This person here took a picture of a by Felicia mat outside somebody's door. You know what's funny is I lived in a condo several years ago, and for Christmas, one of my buddies got me a mat, and it said, "Go away!" And so I put it out in front of my door, and long story short, later, my mom and dad ended up moving into that condo, and they never changed the mat. So now when you go over to visit my mom and dad, there is a "Go away!" right outside the front door. I don't know why my dad never changed it, but...
because he wants people to go away.
No, he's a very... my family's very friendly, unlike me. They still have... you know, why buy a new mat? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, perfectly good mat. It's exactly.
Exactly. A perfectly good mat right there. Cargo Short Swag here says, the whole buy Felicia thing is pretty popular with people my age. What's her face just doesn't really use it right. Yeah, well, maybe it... maybe it does. We got to head to a break. Back in a moment. Observer Live. Live radio, everybody. I don't know how much you heard. Had the wrong channel turned down and just talked my way right through a break. Sitting there talking about mats outside my parents' houses. So really, you missed nothing. Very happy today to have Filthy Tom Lawler here, a UFC superstar. Filthy, how you doing?
I'm doing remarkably great.
Remarkably? How about you? Why remarkably?
Well, I was a little bit sick last week, and I was starting to think that maybe I wasn't going to recover in time to beat up John Volante on July 25th. But alas, I was wrong. Us fighters heal faster than normal people, and I'm ready to go.
So, So the fight is on.
Yeah. Yep. I'm looking good, Brian. I'll send you a picture later.
Oh, I believe you're looking good, Daddy. Now, listen. You had contacted me during the show and noted that you're getting this TNA show here tonight. Glutton.
Which is shocking, considering that I thought you were going to watch the BET Awards.
As much as I love some fine, you know, chocolate, I'll be watching TNA. Which, hey, you have Awesome Kong there, so it's, that falls right in my wheelhouse.
What are you looking forward to on this TNA show?
Well, Brian, one of the reasons I'm getting it is it could be the last TNA pay-per-view ever.
That's true.
Based on, you know, their current contract situation. I really hope it isn't, but I want to be one of the people that was there. I don't remember watching, the final WCW pay-per-view live. And actually I went back a few nights ago and tried to watch it and fell asleep. So, you know, I want to be able to say I was there for history if this is in fact the last one.
This was, that was Greed, correct? I should know. I wrote the book, but I forgot.
Yes, WCW Greed 2001 from Jacksonville, Florida.
I seem to recall the Greed was not bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. The opening match with Jason Jett and Kwee Wee was actually quite good.
Yeah, Jason Jett, that's right. Easy like, money.
It's like an amazing match right there.
It was.
So this King of the Mountain match here tonight, I mean... why are you buying this show? I still don't have a good answer. History? Well,
yeah, for historical purposes, just like Mike is buying it for historical purposes.
Mike ain't buying this show.
Yes, I am, for historical purposes.
Oh, I just don't believe any of this.
Yes, it is true. Here's my thought on this King of the Mountain match, by the way. I'm thinking that Jarrett probably going to win, and then that's going to be the GFW title.
Yeah, that's what we were discussing a little bit earlier. That's our prediction as well.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of excited to watch this. It's been a long time since TNA's had a pay-per-view. And unfortunately, now the focus has shifted. I would have been more excited if it included the EC3 versus Kurt Angle match and the end of the Best of Five series. But, I'm still hoping that the guys go out there and put on a good show.
Well, I didn't even think there was going to be a match with EC3, but I'm looking at the lineup right here, and it does in fact look like EC3 and Tyrus are facing Lashley and Mr. Anderson in a tag team match, and so I presume they're just going to pretend that EC3 is not the champion. I don't think he's coming out with the belt.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he does come out with the belt, that'd be quite an interesting way to do it, but I mean, who knows? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
So,
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else just walks out with the belt.
Anything is possible on this show tonight, trust me. Let's see, what else have we got on the show? The King of the Mountain match, Jarrett, Hardy, Eric Young, Drew Galloway, and Bobby Roode. I presume Jarrett's winning because Matt Hardy, Eric Young, Drew Galloway, and Bobby Roode, I don't think show up on any of the television shows with the King of the Mountain championship. So I guess that would make sense.
Yeah. The other thing they could do, I guess, would be one of those guys wins and defends it in GFW. And maybe that's why you didn't see him on the television shows. But, hey, could be wrong.
The Dollhouse versus Awesome Kong and Brooke.
Yay, Taryn.
Yeah,
who's going to get custody of Taryn? That's what I need to know. I need to know where Taryn and Gail Kim are going to go, especially Taryn.
Well, allegedly, Taryn's not leaving.
Well, she is. You know, I do like him crazy, and it would be a crazy thing to stay, so why not?
Mike, my guess would be that they end up in Ed's basement.
Wow.
Ed called in earlier, but he gave up, so I don't know what his problem is.
He's busy locking a woman up in the basement.
Yeah, Ed, give us a call and talk to Filthy Tom, everybody. The phone lines are open if you want to give us a call and in chit-chat, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Tom, I know that you watched the show, the UFC show last night. We haven't talked a whole lot about your man, not John Volante, I'm sorry, Yoel Romero. Hopefully John Volante does not cut a promo like this after the match one way or the other, but what do you make of Yoel Romero's promo last night?
I think it was some very suspect use of the English language that unfortunately was misinterpreted to a great degree. I don't know who this, I mean, maybe he's got like a homosexual gardener or something named Gay Jesus or Gay Jesus. But I don't think that he was actually referring to, gay marriage in any negative way. I don't think that's what he was referring to at all.
When I heard the apology that he gave at the post-fight press conference, and then I went and I listened to it again, this may be a controversial opinion, but I agree with Tom. I think that Yoel Romero, in very, very poor English, said, "No, forget Jesus." And it sounded like he said, "No, for gay Jesus." And so everybody presumed. Are you aware of this, Mike? You're laughing over there.
I am, but I mean, the whole thing, it wasn't that he said, it's just the fact that it's turned into like a Tommy Toehold show skit. It's almost like that's what it's turned into of what he said and what he didn't say. I will say this, would I fall over shocked if a very machismo man from a very Catholic country did not like the gay marriage decision? Yes, but I think just like you guys, I don't know for sure what he said, but I'm not going to get that upset over it, because if he didn't say that, then we're really crucifying a guy for the wrong reasons when he, like a lot of fighters, love to thank them some Jesus. Yeah. Like Jesus had something to do with their win.
That was a great pun, by the way, there, Mike.
That Mr. Punderful.
Yeah.
What's his nickname? The
Soldier of God.
He is a soldier of God.
Okay. Here's my thing, guys. If he's truly a soldier of God, right, when he defected from Cuba, shouldn't he have gone to the Vatican City? That would be the best place for him.
Tom, how do you know he didn't?
Well, I don't know that, but he's definitely not a resident of Vatican City.
Yes.
True. That is a long ride to get there. Though maybe he had to get here, and then he's planning on going there.
Maybe
actually, he was in
seminary
first.
After he fights.
My point is, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm giving Yoel Romero the benefit of the doubt. I think he just wanted America to know that we should not forget Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not like he's never done a promo like this before.
Yeah. In his post-fight press conference, too, he seemed like he had quite an affinity for Dusty Rhodes because he kept mentioning the American dream.
That's right.
Over and over.
That was not, that didn't become a talking point on any of the shows. I don't know why. So what else did you think of the show last night? We didn't have you on Observer Radio. You were sleeping.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying not to get that cough that Dave's had for the past year. So as I figure, as long as I don't stay up till 3 a.m. doing radio shows and I don't fly on any planes with Luke Rockhold, I'll be okay. I thought the show was awesome. A lot of good finishes. And this is a really good string of UFC shows. And I imagine that the next one's going to follow in line. A really nasty knockout on Steve Bosse, which was, it was kind of scary there for a second. He also had great performances from Lorenz Larkin, Antonio Carls Jr., and, obviously Yoel Romero looked awesome in the main event.
You know, when we have a couple of minutes before the break here, but there are a couple of things we talked about last night that I want to get your thoughts on. One of them is, apparently now you're no longer allowed an IV after cutting weight, which is going to change the game for a lot of guys. And that will also, that discussion, lead us into talking about Jose Aldo Jr. because he is injured. He has some sort of rib gimmick, and he's going to not be able to train for a while. He claims he's still going to do the fight. But this is a guy that has had trouble making weight many times, and now he's going to have to make weight without excessively training. He's not going to be allowed the IV. I don't know if he's ever actually used an IV or not. I'm not sure how his weight cut normally goes, but these things are all tying together, leading to the July 11th show with Aldo and McGregor. So very quickly before the break, what are your thoughts on no more IV bags?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I think for a long time, a lot of guys have been getting down to very, very dangerous circumstances when cutting weight. And you can see that by, it's evidenced by Henan Barao. And there's a countless score of others who miss weight and do it in a very dangerous way. Because the thought of that, they're going to be able to get the IV and it's going to replenish them. So they can only, they can deplete their body for a short period to a great degree. That's going to take this, take that out of the way, and it'll no longer be as big of a factor. You're still going to have guys cutting a lot of weight. And at first, they're probably going to, rehydrate, not as well. And then their performance is going to suffer. So I wouldn't be surprised if, for the first few months after July 1st, there's going to be a lot of people that look a lot different, whether it's because of the weight cutting issues now or whether it's they can no longer use PEDs as freely.
Hey, Tom, Dave brought it up last night. In 1997, three guys in 33 days yep. passed away in college wrestling due to weight cutting. And obviously they had to make a lot of changes since then as far as day of weigh-ins and minimums on what you could weigh. And Dave brought up the minimum on what you could weigh last night. Do you have any opinion on that either way?
Actually, Tom, hold that thought. We'll get to you when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi and UFC star Filthy Tom Lawler here on the air. Phone lines are open if you want to call and talk to us. 855-478. No, I'm sorry, 800-878-PLAY. It's 1-800-878-7529. Those old habits, Tom, hard to break,
Yeah, they are. Very, very tough.
Yeah. We were talking about, Mike had a question for you regarding minimum weights before the break.
Yeah, just off of what Dave asked, any thought about, because his idea was, okay, now that this has gone into effect, everybody goes up a weight class, we kind of tweak what light heavyweight is, and we maybe tweak the heavyweight limit, and then, guys are all going to be put under a body fat test, and it's one of those things that just like in many high schools and in college where you cannot drop below this weight, according to a doctor or somebody in medicine, you cannot drop below this weight. And that's the way it is going to be, which goes opposite of everything that MMA has ever done. And for the most part, boxing has ever done, too. So any opinion on something like that?
Yeah, I would like to see it personally. I think that a lot of guys just, they cut weight in a dangerous manner. I'm not a huge fan of weight cutting. I think that you should be fighting at, you know, somewhat close to your natural physical size. I don't know about changing the weight classes. It seems like a lot of the changes, and it seems like there's a lot of changes going on in MMA right now, but it seems like a good portion of them are on the UFC's side. So I think the UFC would have to be somewhere along the line pushing that to the athletic commissions. And I don't foresee that happening anytime in the future. I mean, these weight classes have been established almost since the unified rules went into effect. So I don't see a change there, but I do think that, you know, some sort of hydration testing would be a great thing for the sport.
What do you make of this whole deal with McGregor and Aldo and the fact that we know that Aldo has an injury? McGregor knows that Aldo has an injury. Aldo thinks he's going to be back, but he's not going to be able to train for the final 2 weeks. I mean, I look at it as a promoter thinking, okay, it's not the end of the world. McGregor beats the guy, but the guy was injured. And so you build up the rematch. The rematch is bigger than the first match. Everybody makes all their money. Everybody's happy. It does ruin the win streak of Aldo. It is questionable that you're allowing a guy with bruised ribs to go in there for a fight. Many ways to look at it, Tom. Where do you weigh in?
Yeah, I may fall along the same lines as you. You know, I'm happy that the fight still seems to be taking place. And I'm even more happy that the UFC has a contingency plan in place. If Aldo can't fight, then Chad Mendes will step in, and I believe it'll be for the interim title. So, you know, it's always awesome to see them have, you know, something waiting in the wings in case the plan A doesn't go through. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this fight. I think it's a no-lose situation. If McGregor wins, then you can pump up a rematch because, well, Aldo is hurt. And there's also been rumors that McGregor is still hurt, suffering from a knee injury. So that, you know, he had one previously, and that could be the case as well. And if Aldo wins, then he really cements his legacy as, you know, pretty much the best. I mean, he is the best featherweight of all time, but it's going to be tough to even top him if he defeats McGregor with, you know, possibly broken ribs.
By the way, I just got a tweet here with shocking breaking news. Jeff Jarrett on TNA's YouTube channel just said that if he wins the King of the Mountain match, he is taking the new belt back to Global Force Wrestling, hence exactly what all the rumors have been saying. So there you go. We called it.
Yeah.
Good job.
High five.
Oh, by the way, somebody else also said, why spend money on wrestling tonight when Battle Bots with Kenny Florian is on ABC instead?
Hey, that's right. Tom, are you going to
watch
that?
BET Awards.
This sounds like it'd be right up Tom's alley. Battle Bots with Kenny Florian.
Nah, I'm not watching that.
Wow.
Swerve is just going to take precedence again tonight? Going to rerun that after the TNA show?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to rerun it on loop for about 3 hours. And then when that runs up, I'm going straight to WWE lists.
I haven't seen that one yet. How is that? I don't want to spoil tomorrow's Filthy Tom Lawler show by talking about Swerved on this program. I mean, we may have to. But I've seen WWE list, like the little icon. I've never watched it. What is it? Have you seen it?
It's just it's the same thing as the Countdown show with different graphics.
great.
Yeah, I have seen it. It's pretty, I mean, I like it for what it is. It's an easy watch. It's pretty mindless. But, you know, sometimes you look for something a little more stimulating, and WWE list certainly is not that.
I know that I know this. The listening audience does not. But your Polish girlfriend, Tom, she's French, but also somehow Polish. I still haven't quite figured this all out yet. But
there's a joke there somewhere, right?
She did. Yes, maybe. She did confirm Joanna Janjicic is how you pronounce her name.
I love her. Not your wife. Not your girlfriend.
Wow,
I mean, Joanna,
Mike.
Joanna.
Mike, come on.
Tom's going to put a filthy beating on you.
Sorry.
But that is correct. Correct?
Yeah.
I just like to get that out there.
Yes, it is true. Yes, you were correct in your pronunciation of it. And I was wrong, Brian, and I admit that. You know, sometimes it takes a bigger man to admit when they're wrong. Kind of just like my man Kane admitted he was wrong this past Monday.
Hey,
when it came to Seth Rollins.
I got a better one. I'm going to admit I was wrong, and the man who was right was Ryan from Cumberland, because as he notes here on Twitter, he was the first person to mention the Global Force title being on the line way back on Thursday's Observer Live with you, Mike.
Did he know?
He did. I remember this because there was a thread on the board saying, my God, Ryan actually asked a great question, or he made a great suggestion for once.
Hey, he had a good one about Buddy Landell, too. Good on you,
What
Ryan.
Was his Buddy Landell one? I didn't hear it.
No, he just actually brought up a good question about Buddy Landell in the Ric Flair match and just about Buddy. So I was surprised, but I wasn't sure if that was just a temporary moment of lucidity, like a broken clock is right twice a day sort of thing, or what exactly it was.
Now, Tom, we have some extra time here on the show. We've got no calls yet. You're the I don't even know what. But let's do a spoiler for tomorrow's Filthy Tom Lawler show, exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. What the hell? Let's talk about Swerved. I watched it because I promised to, and you were very, very excited. And you had stated that it was the best show of all time. Is that correct?
Yes. I did say that, yes.
Do you stand by that?
No. No, pretty much everything I watch, I do so with that in mind, that, you know, I'm just happy that I've made it this far and I'm alive at this moment. So this is the best thing ever.
Sure.
Kind of like how, you know, your favorite wrestler goes.
Did you watch it with your French-Polish girlfriend?
Brian, I watched it twice. I watched it with her, and then I watched it with one of my friends.
Okay, now now we're getting somewhere. What did she think of Swerved?
She loved it.
Really?
Absolutely loved it. Yeah.
Thought that explains your relationship.
Thought all the pranks were... I swear, I promise.
No, I believe you.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes sense. You guys are dating now.
Yeah, Mike, what did she say? Did she say anything to you about it?
About your girlfriend. I'm talking about Joanna, for God's sakes.
Now, what did your other friend think of it?
He was laughing the whole time. He thought it was great.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I didn't think it was great. I will say, I thought that the shock chair...
Yep.
I did laugh several times regarding the shock chair. The rest of it, I thought, was largely garbage. But I did like the shock chair.
You know what? I heard you talk a little bit about how you thought everybody came off, you know, better on that show than they did on WWE television.
Yes.
And, you know, after watching that, I thought that Xavier Woods came off worse. I was like, I would not want to be anywhere near this guy, which I guess is good because he's a heel.
Yeah.
But that's all I could think when I was watching him is like, God, I have friends like this and I'm not happy that they're my friends.
Oh, man. Just too boisterous and rowdy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just always having to have his shirt
off.
Top. The topless part as well?
Yeah. Just too much for me.
So if Rob Gronkowski was a brother and it was actually smart, he'd be Xavier Woods? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I was saying at all. Rob Gronkowski is an amazing individual. Who I hold.
Oh, I forgot about that whole stupid New England thing. I apologize.
Mike, you
man,
idiot.
Was Bob Evans going to call in next? My God.
Lines are open if he wants to. You know, I when I saw Xavier, I will say that I had a buddy, and he always had to have his shirt off. Like, he was in jiu-jitsu, and so, you know, he'd take his gi off, and everyone takes their gi off. But, like, if there was a no-gi tournament, he'd have to not wear a shirt. And he'd always have his shirt off during class. And,
bro, look at my abs, bro.
Yeah, we called him shirtless because he did this. And
original.
It very much reminded me of Xavier Woods. Like, he's the only guy doing the cooking show gimmick that has to be there with no shirt on.
Or I hope at least, he wasn't making bacon like that.
He's got his body everywhere. You know what I mean? I understand that being annoying.
Yeah, he was just, he was too much for me. And there was not enough Renee for me.
There's never enough Renee.
No, it's true.
But what I did find funny about the shock chair, first off, the gimmick was just kind of funny. But what was really funny to me was these idiots kept getting back on the chair.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they'd sit on the chair and they'd get shocked and they'd flip out and they'd swear, which would be bleeped. And then Ziggler, who's like, I mean, how can you believe Dolph Ziggler? You know what I mean? Like, he just looked so guilty all the time. And he's like, oh, Jesus, there's a wire here. Let's cover this wire up. And the idiot inevitably sits back down on the chair and he gets zapped again. And then Dolph talks him into doing it a third time by switching chairs, and the guy sits down a third time. And it's like, that to me was kind of funny that you saw how stupid these idiots were. Although Alex Riley only got fooled one time, twice. After the second time, he's out of there. But I was amused by the shock chair.
Yeah. Tom Phillips also came off kind of unlikable to me.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
I don't know about unlikable. He just kind of came off like, he reminded me a lot of Vinny.
Mm. He'd just be like an awkward house guest.
That's Vinny.
Okay.
That's exactly what he is. But you know what I mean? Like he'd get really agitated, but he wouldn't be too boisterous, and his body position would never change. You know what I mean? Like he'd always just stand there with his arms by his sides. He'd get a little bit agitated, but not too agitated. He'd call you a terrible name and then he'd storm off. I mean, it's totally Vinny.
Yeah. I'd love to see if Dolph Ziggler is going to try to prank Rusev on one of these shows.
That's right.
This boy, he could really set him off.
Let's go to Bishop. He's got a quick TNA question. Bishop, you're on the line.
Hey, awesome show. I've been listening to it ever since it came on today. I got a question. With the rumors of Magnus, James Storm, and Austin Aries leaving, I've been kind of thinking a little positive about how just three guys leaving, but what is the possibility you think of TNA bringing in new guys and having a youth movement with those three going out?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't think it's rumors those three are leaving. Those three are pretty much confirmed gone. And as far as they need bodies if they do another set of tapings. So the whole thing is the reason everybody is leaving is because nobody is getting good money offers to stay. And so they don't have a lot of money to spend on guys coming in for tapings. And so if there are young guys out there on the indie scene that are willing to work cheap so that they can get on Destination America, you will see somewhat of a youth movement, I guess. But I just don't know if you're ever going to see another taping. We're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap it up. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler, UFC star. Of course, tomorrow, we're going to be doing a brand new Figure 4 Daily only for subscribers with Filthy Tom. He does a show every single week on the website only for subscribers. And Filthy, before you go, let's get some plugs out for your Twitter and such.
Yeah, hey, check me out on Twitter. My handle is at Filthy Tom Lawler. That's LAWLOR, not to be confused with Ruthless Robbie Lawler. We are not related.
Or the King.
And also, you could check me out on, of course, F4W Online and my show with Brian. And I have a show with Front Row Brian as well at FRBShow.com.
That's right.
He's also ordering the pay per view tonight, so chalk up another buy.
He is?
Yep.
What is he thinking?
We want to be the last people to report on this pay-per-view, or the first to report on the last.
Well, they got four confirmed buys, so that's not bad so far. Filthy Tom, tomorrow we're going to have a fun time. We'll be talking all of this stuff, and I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and everybody else, we are going to be back later on tonight. I got two shows coming up. Brian and Vinny's show is coming up this evening. Immediately after the show goes off the air, we'll start taping, so it'll be up probably around midnight. And then, live at midnight, I will be doing an After Dark radio show, 2 hours live, and I've got a guest on who's going to be talking the Bluff Creek Project. For those of you ever seen the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film, it was filmed at Bluff Creek. Bluff Creek has been found, the location of the filming. That's coming up tonight, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. All the information is up at WrestlingObserver.com, including how you can listen live and free to After Dark Radio. So check it out tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern with more. Thanks, Mike. Everybody at Byline. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.